A middle-aged woman named Bertha Jones had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And while on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. During that experience, she saw God and asked if this was the end of the road for her. God said no and explained that she had another 30 years to live. So upon her recovery, she figured if she had 30 more years, she might as well stay in the hospital and have plastic surgery, a facelift, liposuction, hair transplant, the whole works. After her hospital stay, she walked out of the front door and was hit by a truck. When she arrived in front of God, she asked, "I thought you said I had another 30 years left." God replied, "Sorry, Bertha, I just didn't recognize you." Well, that's what happens in today's gospel. The people say, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus said, "I solemnly declare, I never knew you." So let's take a look at this passage, Matthew chapter 7. It's only 6 verses, but there's a great deal of truth and wisdom in these short verses. Jesus says to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who do the will of my Father." See, that's an important aspect. That's an important teaching of the Lord. It's not just those who say, "I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." That's not enough for salvation. That's the start. We should all do that. We all need to do that. But just calling out, "Lord, Lord," that won't save us. There's more to it. Jesus says we have to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior is necessary. It's indispensable. That's the first part. But that's not the totality of the spiritual life. It's the beginning of the spiritual life. Calling out, "Lord, Lord." But Jesus is saying here, don't just give God lip service. Don't just say you're calling upon His name. Jesus says you have to be real disciples. You have to not just talk the talk, Jesus says, but walk the walk, as we hear. So in other words, He's saying, don't just call out to me, "Lord, Lord." That won't get you into heaven. He says, you have to do the will of my Father. Well, how do we know what God's will is? Well, God revealed it. And He did this through the Ten Commandments and through divine revelation. If you read sacred scripture, you know what God wants us to do. He wants us to obey His commandments. Look at that first reading today. God says, "I set before you a blessing or a curse. A blessing for obeying the commandments, a curse for not obeying the commandments." See, we have the choice. We can either obey God's commandments or we can choose to disobey His commandments. See, that's God's will for us, is to obey His commandments. And really, the commandments are the guidelines for a happy life. Did you ever notice that? When you're following the commandments, you have peace, you have joy, you have happiness if you're following His commandments. Imagine how wonderful marriages would be, families would be, society would be, if everybody lived the commandments. You would not have dishonor towards parents. You wouldn't have, in society, killing, adultery, stealing, lying, gossiping, drunkenness. You wouldn't have these things if people followed the commandments. Imagine how much a blessing marriage would be, family life, society would be, if people live these guidelines for a happy life, which are the Ten Commandments. So we have a choice, it says, a blessing or a curse. And if we want to do God's will, then we follow the commandments. So Jesus revealed His commandments to us, and He also gave us even a deeper set of commandments, which we call the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, where we can come to live a spiritual life that the Lord wants us to live. Then the Lord established His church, the Catholic Church, upon St. Peter and the Apostles. And Jesus said, "He who hears you hears me." He who rejects you rejects me. So the teachings of the church, if we follow them, then we know we're doing God's will. If we disobey the teachings of the church, we are separating ourselves from doing God's will. So Jesus said, don't just call out, Lord, Lord. Don't just give me lip service. But be a real disciple. Do the will of the Heavenly Father. So God's will for us is, of course, do the commandments, follow the commandments, follow the teachings of Christ, the Beatitudes, and follow the teachings of the church, which Christ established and which teaches with the authority of Jesus Christ. He then says, many will say to me on that day. What does on that day mean? It's referring to the final judgment. That's the day of reckoning, they say, when we have to come before God. And it says some people will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We drove out demons. We did all these mighty deeds in your name. But Jesus will say to them, I solemnly assure you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. See, what's the Lord saying here? He's saying that we can't just have a relationship with religion. We can't just have a relationship with talking about Jesus. Because we have to have not a superficial knowledge of the Lord, but a personal, a real, an intimate relationship with the Lord to get to know the Lord and to allow Him to get to know us. See, we don't want Jesus to say to us, I never knew you. And it is possible that a person could go to church every Sunday for 20 years, 50 years, 80 years, and sadly, never have a personal relationship with Jesus. They could go to Mass, they could give God lip service their whole life, but they could be, maybe they don't pray during the week, maybe they don't spend time getting to know the Lord. And it's sad to see that they can do this their whole life and not have that personal, intimate relationship with the Lord that comes through daily prayer, that comes through getting to know the Lord, through reading the Scriptures and having that close relationship with the Lord. So we don't want Jesus to say to us, I never knew you. So what can we do to combat that? Well, Jesus tells us, He says, don't just listen to the words, but live them. He says, a wise man listens to the words and acts on them. That's like a person who builds his house on rock. Even though the winds blow and the storm comes, it will not destroy the house because it's been solidly set on rock. But Jesus says, those who listen to my words but don't act on them, it's like building your house on sand. And when the storm comes, the house will collapse because it had no foundation. So what is the foundation that we need upon which to build our faith? It is Jesus Christ. If our life is built on anything else other than Jesus Christ, the rock, then our life is built upon sand. The foundations are so important. The foundation of the Empire State Building goes 10 stories deep into the ground. The foundation of the Golden Gate Bridge goes deep into the bedrock, all the way down in order to have a good foundation. When we were building Holy Trinity, when they had to dig deep to build the foundation, they had to test the foundation before anything else could be built on top. So our foundation has to be Jesus Christ. Everything else is sand. You know, a powerful story is Father Carapi's, his amazing story is of conversion. It's on the CD racks outside. Listen to it. Because in that story, he says that when he was a young man, his whole life was sports. He was an amazing athlete. He could bench press a huge amount of weight. He was a great athlete. And he said, this is the purpose of my life, to be excellent at sports. Well, then he had an injury and he couldn't play sports anymore. He realized that was sand. And then he joined the military and he was going up in the ranks of the military and he thought that this is the purpose of my life, is to be an officer, to be a military hero. And he did that, but then he got injured in a helicopter accident, and he had to be discharged from the army. See, that was sand. Well, then he went to Las Vegas, and he began to make lots of money as an accountant in the big casinos. And he felt that this money was now the purpose of his life. And then he went to Hollywood, Los Angeles, and he made millions of dollars in the real estate market back then. And he said, this is now the purpose of my life. And he had power, he had so-called friends, he had lots of money. And he said he had everything, but it was all sand. Because he got addicted to cocaine. He lost everything. He lost his houses, his yachts. He lost his money, his so-called friends. He wound up in the hospital, broken and defeated, suicidal. He had nothing because he had built his life upon sand. Well, finally, he turned to God. And he came back to his Catholic faith, went to confession after 20 years. His mom always prayed for him. And then he went to confession. He entered the seminary, was ordained a priest by Pope John Paul II. See, now his life is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. So we should ask ourselves, what is our life built on? What is our foundation? If it is anything except for Christ, we won't be able to survive the storms. Life will have storms. The rain will come. The floods will try to destroy the house. The wind will try to blow down the house. If our life is built on anything but Christ, we won't survive the storm. Only Jesus is that rock upon which we build our house and upon which we can survive and make it through any storm.